Amen. Turn in your Bible to Hebrews 11. Hebrews 11. My name is Jody Sledge. I'm one of the pastors. It's my joy to be preaching God's word for us today. We've been spending this year in the book of Hebrews in a series called Jesus is Better. In the past 5 weeks, we've been walking through probably the most familiar passage in Hebrews, Hebrews 11, this great chapter on faith. And so today we have Hebrews 11, verse 32 to 40. Let's hear the word of the Lord together. And what more shall I say? For time would fail me to tell of Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, of David and Samuel and the prophets, who through faith conquered kingdoms, enforced justice, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the power of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, were made strong out of weakness, became mighty in war, put foreign armies to flight. Women received back their dead by resurrection. Some were tortured, refusing to accept release so that they might rise to a better life. Others suffered mocking and flogging and even chains and imprisonment. They were stoned. They were sawn in two. They were killed with the sword. They went about in skins of sheep and goats, destitute, afflicted, mistreated, of whom the world was not worthy, wandering about in deserts and mountains and in dens and caves of the earth. And all these, though commended through their faith, did not receive what was promised, since God had provided something better for us, that apart from us, they should not be made perfect. Let's pray together. God, we thank you for your word today, God. We're thankful that we've come to the end of this wonderful chapter on faith and that you're calling us today to be a people of faith, a people of deep faith in Jesus, people who believe and trust that Jesus can and will do amazing things in our lives, but also a people who trust that Jesus is good and that he is working even when amazing things don't happen in our lives. So God, would you speak to us from your word? Would you fill us with your spirit that we might hear and receive and be changed by your word today, God? God, would you help us to see Jesus in all his beauty? And we pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. Well, my dad said to me, "Son, sometimes you win and sometimes you lose." I was 11 and I was at the peak of my basketball career. Dad was the coach and we were in the last game of the season. If we won this game, we would have been champions of the whole league. But we lost the game by 2 points. And I had the last shot of the game. It was right there at about the three-point line, wide open. Someone passed me the ball, and as you've probably guessed it, I put up a shot. You know, it's like slow motion in a movie, and just totally missed, and we lost the game. I got so mad that I ran straight to the bathroom. I didn't even get in line with all the other boys and tell the other team, good game. I was just so mad. I got in a lot of trouble for that, but I remember my dad trying to explain to me, "Son, sometimes you win and sometimes you lose." Everybody likes to win. Nobody likes to lose. It doesn't matter if you're playing basketball or playing a board game. Everybody likes to win. It doesn't matter if it's your job or if it's the grade on your final. Everyone likes success. Doesn't matter if you're trying to beat cancer or trying to beat anxiety, everyone likes victory. And this can be especially true of us as Christians, right? I mean, if anyone has any reason to expect victory, it's us, right? I mean, the Almighty God is on our side. The victorious Son of God is working for our good. The power of the Holy Spirit of God lives inside of us. And on top of all of that, we're a people of faith. Can't God do great things through our faith? Can't we move mountains if we just believe? Shouldn't we be a people of victory? Church, God has brought us to the end of Hebrews 11, and today He's calling us to cling to our faith in Him. And He wants us to see that, yes, He can bring victory in our lives through our faith, but not always. There are times when we experience defeat, and we need faith in those moments just as much. So my goal for us today is to help us to see that faith is the only thing that we can, the only way that we can receive both the winning and the losing in life. I'm praying that we look to Jesus today and that we trust Him in the victory and we trust Him in the defeat. I've got two simple points today. First, we need faith for victory. We need faith for the victory. So the pastor has been walking through the Old Testament in chapter 11, looking at the faith of God's people. He's taken us from creation all the way up to the book of Joshua. And listen, he could just keep going. He begins verse 32 by saying, "And what more shall I say? For time would fail me." Like, there's just so much that he wants to talk about, but he doesn't want to go on and on and on forever. And so he gives us a condensed version of the rest of the Old Testament, starting around the time of the Judges. He starts by giving us six names, and then he tells us 10 things that these people did by faith. There's four judges: Gideon and Barak, Samson and Jephthah. And then he mentions King David and Samuel and all the prophets. And just look with me, follow along in the passage of all of the things that these men were able to do by faith. Look at verse 33. It says, they conquered kingdoms. The judges and even the kings of Israel defeated the enemy nations that came against them. He says, they enforced justice. They also brought peace and entrusted that the people of Israel lived by justice and righteousness. He says, they obtained promises. Many of them received promises about these military victories. Even David himself received a promise that one of his sons would be an eternal king. Then look at verse 34. He says, they stopped the mouths of lions. Samson and David both killed lions. Even Daniel, the prophet, was thrown into the lion's den but was not harmed. He says, they quenched the power of the fire. Remember, Daniel's three friends were thrown into the fiery furnace, and they too were not harmed. It says they escaped the edge of the sword. The prophet Elijah and Elisha, both of them, were rescued from kings who were literally trying to kill them with the sword. Next, he says they were made strong out of weakness. Gideon defeated the Midianites with just an army of 300 men. The boy David defeated the giant with just a sling and some stones. Next, he says they became mighty in war and they put foreign armies to flight. In lots of these stories in the Old Testament, God brings a victory and Israel's enemies run away and go back to their homes. Then look at the greatest victory here in verse 35. He says, women received back their dead by resurrection. Elijah and Elisha both did miracles to resurrect dead sons. Two women with two dead sons both received their boys back from the dead. Listen, all of these people did amazing things and even more by faith, and God brought the victory for them by faith. Now, before we talk a little bit about faith and victory, has anybody noticed anything a little odd about this list of names here? If you don't know, all of these men are deeply flawed. And a lot of them did some really terrible things. Gideon, he's a coward. And at the end of his life, he makes this golden vest that all of Israel starts worshiping. Barak also is a coward and is slow to trust in God's promises. Samson is really a terrible man. He's violent, he's immoral, he's arrogant. Jephthah, gosh, that story is just a tragedy. He sacrifices his daughter because of a rash vow that he made, and he ends up slaughtering 42,000 Israelites really for no good reason. And look at David. David covets Uriah's wife. He commits adultery with her. He has the man killed in battle. He steals the man's wife, and then he lies about the whole thing and tries to cover it up. I mean, in one story, David breaks 5 of the 10 commandments. And Samuel is probably the best out of this bunch, but he appoints 2 of his awful sons to be judges after him. Listen, this is not a list of the best and the brightest of the Bible. This is a list of deeply flawed, sinful people. And that's kind of the point. Verse 39 says these men were commended through their faith, not through their moral perfection. These men are not in this chapter because, look, they're just the most holy people we could think of. They're here because of their faith. Now, the pastor is not excusing their sin, but in this chapter, what he is doing is highlighting their faith. And here's why. God commends us by our faith in spite of our worst sins. Let me say that again. God commends us by our faith in spite of our worst sins. I mean, everyone in this chapter is a sinner in one way or another. I mean, just walk through the whole chapter. After the flood, Noah gets drunk and naked. Abraham and Sarah abuse her Egyptian slave. Isaac lies about his wife. Jacob is a master manipulator. Moses gets angry and disobeys God. Rahab is a prostitute. Everyone in chapter 11 is a sinner. And listen, you could add my name to this list. You could commend me for my faith, but you could also point out my flaws and my sins. You could say, well, he gets angry with his boys at times, really for no good reason. You could say he's selfish sometimes and he's not really that kind to his wife. You could say, well, his heart can be filled with fear of man more than it is fear of God. All of that and more is true of me. But listen to this again. God commends us by our faith in spite of our worst sins. We don't experience victory because we're just so good. We experience victory in spite of how bad we are. To be clear, God doesn't like our sin. God doesn't approve of our sin. God's not pleased with our sin. But He is pleased with us by faith. Verse 6 says this plainly, and without faith, it is impossible to please God. When we look at the cross of Jesus with eyes of faith, God forgives even our worst sins, and He is pleased with us. Don't walk away from Hebrews 11 thinking that God is disappointed with you. If you have faith in Jesus, God is pleased with you. Now, we're going to talk later in the letter about how we walk in holiness, how we walk in obedience. But listen, just let this be a balm to your soul. God is pleased with us because of our faith in spite of our worst sins. God loves us in spite of our sin. And He is pleased with us because of our faith in Jesus. You know, if you're not a Christian, then the only way to be forgiven, the only way to please God is to repent and believe in Jesus. That's the only way. You also are deeply flawed and sinful. The only hope you have to be saved is to put your faith in Jesus. Jesus lived a perfect life. He died on the cross for our sins, and he rose again to give us eternal life. And that salvation comes to us by faith. It's God's gracious gift to us in spite of us. And so if you have never done that, and if you would do it today, put your faith in Jesus, you can be forgiven and you can be saved. And if you've never done that, today would be a great day to put your eyes on Jesus and believe in him today. Because the truth is, it's only through faith in Jesus that God brings victory. You know, another danger of reading this passage is thinking that all of these great things are the things these people did. Maybe they're sinners, yeah, but look at the amazing things that they did. They stopped the mouths of lions. They quenched the power of fire. They escaped the sword. They raised the dead. It could be easy to think that if we could just have faith like them, then we could do those great things too. That's not the point of these verses. God is not showing us all of the great things these men did. He's showing us what he did through these men. All of these stories are about the victory that God brings, even in desperate situations. I mean, think about it. Gideon's 300 men fighting 135,000 Midianites. That's a desperate situation. The boy David with a sling coming against the mighty giant Goliath. That's a desperate situation. Three friends about to be thrown in a furnace. That's a desperate situation. A widow with a dead son. That's a desperate situation. And listen, like verse 34 says, God works these victories. How? Through weakness. These verses are not here to prove that we have the power to stop lions or we can quench flames, or we can even raise the dead. These verses are here to show us that God can, and that we need to trust him when we are desperate. So listen, God doesn't want us to name and claim the victory. God doesn't want us to declare a positive confession. God doesn't want us to speak with creative power. God doesn't want us to manifest blessings in our lives. That's not what these verses are about. God wants us to trust him to bring victory when we're weak, when we're desperate. And remember, this letter is written to Jewish Christians who are suffering for their faith, a desperate situation. And like we'll see in just a minute, there's no guarantee that things are always going to go well. But God guarantees that we can always trust him. And we can trust him to bring the victory that we need in the way that he sees fit. So here's what we can do. Here's what God wants us to do. We can be the kind of people who trust God to work in spite of us, even in desperate situations. And we can trust God to do it because of Jesus. So think about these things. We can trust that Jesus will give us victory over worry. And not because, listen, we're just so good at keeping it together, but because he can give us the gift of peace. We can trust God to give us victory over sexual sin. And not because we're just so good at killing sin, but because he can give us the holiness that we need. We can trust that God can help us forgive someone. And not because we're just so kind and so generous, but because he can give us the grace that we need. We can trust Jesus to heal a broken relationship, and not because we're just good at fixing problems, but because He can give us the love that we need. Beloved, things will not always go our way, the way that we want or the way that we expect, but God can always be trusted. Jesus proved that on the cross. He calls us to come to Him with eyes of faith into every desperate situation. And to believe in one way or another, in this life or in the next, God will bring victory through Jesus. We don't need to be a people who fail to believe that God will bring victory. He'll bring victory in His time. So, brothers and sisters, let's cling to our faith in Jesus for victory. Number two, we need faith for defeat. So we've come to these amazing things that God did through the faith of these Old Testament saints. But our passage, right in the middle of verse 35, takes a hard right turn and just goes in a completely different direction. I mean, he has just celebrated the fact that Elijah and Elisha have raised boys from the dead. And immediately he starts talking about people who are suffering for their faith. I mean, the contrast couldn't be any more jarring. Just look at what he says in verse 35. Some were tortured, refusing to accept release so that they might rise again to a better life. This is more than likely a reference to a story in Jewish history, a story between the time of the Old Testament and the New Testament. There's a Jewish book called 2 Maccabees that tells the story of a Jew named Eliezer, and he was tortured, and he chose to suffer death rather than to dishonor God. That same book also talks about seven brothers who were mutilated and boiled alive right in front of their mother for their faith in God. And she too suffered the same fate. And so why would these people do this? Why would they put their faith in the God of Israel like this? Well, he tells us, right? They believed that they would rise again to a better life. You see, God can be trusted even in torture, even in death. The pastor goes on in verse 36 and 37. Look at what he says. Others suffered mocking and flogging, even chains and imprisonment. They were stoned and sawn in two. They were killed with the sword. They went about in skins of sheep and goats, destitute, afflicted, mistreated. The prophet Jeremiah experienced much of this. His messages were mocked. He was beaten for speaking out against Israel's king. He was chained up in the town square. He was even thrown in prison. A prophet named Zechariah was stoned to death by the king. Jewish tradition says the prophet Isaiah was sawn in two. Many other prophets were killed with the sword. Isn't this such a contrast to the verses above? I mean, do you see it there in the text? Some escaped the sword. Others were cut down by it. Some conquered in strength. Others were tortured in weakness. Some were raised in victory. Others were defeated in death. And then there's more. He goes on to talk about Elijah, who wandered about in the desert in these sheepskin, and Moses and David too wandered about in the deserts, and they were hiding in the mountains and in caves because people were trying to kill them. The prophet Obadiah one time hid himself and 100 other prophets in caves because the kings were trying to kill them. In every story in the Old Testament of victory, there is another story of defeat. He says God's people were destitute, afflicted, mistreated, treated. They were poor, abused, oppressed. And listen, it wasn't because they did not have enough faith. It's not like the people in the first half had a lot of faith and these people in the second half, they didn't have enough faith. Listen to Tom Schreier. He says this in his commentary on Hebrews. He says, if Christians expect to be accepted and praised, they need to rethink matters in light of the Old Testament. The people of God have always been a minority people, a pilgrim people, and often despised and forsaken. This is why the pastor says in verse 38 that the world is not worthy of these people. The world sees the people of God as scum, refuse. But the people of God don't belong to this world. We belong to another. We belong to another king, another world. We have another kingdom, another home. And listen, we can look past the defeat of this world because there is one who is coming for us, Jesus. Friends, this is such a helpful passage for us today. Listen, the point of these verses is not to make us fearful of all the terrible things that could happen to us. Certainly, there are terrible things that could happen to us. The point is that God can be trusted even when great things don't happen. I love what Daniel's three friends said when the king threatened to throw them in the fire. Do you remember the story? They're not bowing down to this idol that he created. They're not wanting to worship him or his idol. And so they're going to be thrown into this fiery furnace. And this is what they say. They said, we believe that God will rescue us from that fire. But even if he doesn't, we will never bow down to you or to that idol. God can be trusted to bring the victory, and God can be trusted when we experience defeat. Gonna get real here. So there's an elevation worship song called Sea of Victory. Here's the lyrics to this song. It says, the weapon may be formed, but it won't prosper. When the darkness falls, it won't prevail. Because the God I serve only knows how to triumph. My God will never fail. And then the chorus over and over, I'm going to see a victory. I'm going to see a victory, for the battle belongs to you, Lord. It sounds like a good song, doesn't it? It sounds like something we should sing as Christians. It sounds true. It sounds real. I think the words to this song are dangerous, because they train us to expect something that God has not promised to us. God has never promised that we will always have victory in this life. I mean, what happens when the weapon does prosper against us? What happens when all over the world Christians are cut down or gunned down or burned down? What then? Where's the victory there? What happens when the darkness does prevail? What about the persecution we prayed for earlier in places like North Korea or Nigeria or Pakistan? Do those Christians just not have enough faith? Do they not get a victory? What about when darkness prevails over us? When we have the darkness of grief and it just won't go away? What about when we have the darkness of sorrow and it never stops? Where's the victory there? The song sounds good, but it is dangerous. Our faith in Jesus is no guarantee that we will always triumph. We don't sing songs like this here at our church because we think they're dangerous. And what's even more dangerous is that this song misses the beauty of the cross. Listen, it's true that God will never fail. Amen. It's true that the battle belongs to the Lord. Yes, amen. And it's true that in the end, God will always triumph. But it is not true that our God has always triumphed. On the cross, Jesus experienced defeat. Yes, of course, it was the plan of God from all eternity. Yes, of course, God willingly offered up his Son. Yes, of course, Jesus willingly laid down his life. But the victory of the cross comes by defeat. On the cross, the author of life died. The maker of the winds took his last breath. The victorious king hung his head in defeat. The cross is the moment of God's greatest victory over sin and over the powers of darkness. Yes, and amen forever. But the cross is Jesus winning by losing. When the good shepherd laid down his life for the sheep, when the good teacher laid down his life for his friends, when the good servant suffered, he suffered in our place, when the true prophet was struck down and destroyed, when the true priest offered up his own precious blood, when the true king died to make his enemies his family, when the Christ of God died to deliver us from darkness, when the Lamb of God died to take away our sins, when the Son of God died to save us and make us his. On the cross, Jesus won by losing. Listen to this poem by Edward Shalito. It's a longer poem about the wounds of Jesus, but here's the last verse. He says, "The other gods were strong, but you were weak. They rode, but you did stumble to a throne. But to our wounds, only God's wounds can speak. And not a god has wounds, but you alone." The cross of Jesus is beautiful, not because it proves that we're always going to triumph in everything that we do. No, the cross of Jesus is beautiful because it proves that we can trust him even in defeat. Oh, and we need faith for the times of defeat. So here's what we can do. Here's what God wants us to do. We must be the kind of people that live by the faith, that trust Jesus to do great things, but also trust Jesus when great things don't happen. We need the kind of faith that trusts Jesus even in defeat. We need the kind of faith that trusts Jesus when the cancer wins. We need the kind of faith that trusts Jesus even if our families ridicule us for our faith. We need the kind of faith that trusts Jesus when we can't pay the bills. We need the kind of faith that trusts Jesus even when the people that have hurt us, when that pain won't go away. We need the kind of faith that trusts Jesus even when our culture turns against us. We need the kind of faith that trusts Jesus even when death is at our doorstep. Jesus has proved that we can trust him. He's proved that we can trust him even in defeat. Listen, faith is not a cheat code that guarantees that we always win. Sometimes you get sawn into. Instead, faith is clinging to Christ even when we don't win. So, brothers and sisters, let's cling to our faith in Jesus in times of defeat. We can trust him. So the pastor closes our passage, this amazing chapter on faith, with a couple of verses here at the end. Listen to these last two verses. "And all of these, though commended through their faith, did not receive what was promised. Since God has provided something better for us, that apart from us, they should not be made perfect. Every single person in this chapter is celebrated for their faith. But every single person in this chapter died before they received what was promised. They did not see what God had promised them. All of them died only seeing from a distance what God had planned for them, looking far into the future, hoping and trusting that there was something better coming for them. All of them died looking for something better. Because you see, that something better would not come until later. And here's the most beautiful thing. What they could only see from a distance, we have now seen face to face, up close and personal. Jesus is the better they were looking for. And Jesus is the better that we have found by faith. Jesus is the better word that created the world. He's the better gift and righteousness. He's the better ark for rescue from the flood. Jesus is the better inheritance. He's the better city. He's the better son of promise. Jesus is the better sacrifice up on that mountain. He's the better blessing. He's the better resurrection. Jesus is the better pleasure. He's the better treasure. He's the better reward. Jesus is the better Passover lamb. He's the better deliverance through the sea. He's the better victory where the walls crumble down. Everyone in this passage, those saints of old who were commended, these Jewish Christians that the pastor is writing to, and even us, Christ Fellowship, that God is speaking to right now, God has provided something better for us all. And that better is being made perfect in Jesus Christ. So, brothers and sisters, let's look to the grand finale of God's promises and God's grace. Let's look to Jesus. And let's look to Him with eyes of faith. Let's look with eyes of faith to the God who can bring victory even in desperate situations. And let's look with hearts of faith that trust Him to do it. Let's look with eyes of faith to the God who is with us and working for us even in defeat. And let's look with hearts of faith that trust Him through it all. You see, my dad was right. And as much as we might not like it, sometimes you win and sometimes you lose. But Jesus is ours. And that's what matters most. You see, in the winning or in the losing, in the victory or in the defeat, in the plenty or in the poverty, in the joy or in the sorrow, in the praise or in the ridicule, in the success or in the failure, in triumph or in tragedy, in life or in death, in all of it we have Jesus. And Jesus is always better. Let's pray. Lord, we confess that it is hard for us at times to trust You. God, we see the amazing things that You do in the Bible, and we think, I don't think that could ever happen in my life. Or we think about the ways that we're broken, or there's brokenness in our relationships or around us, and we think there's just never going to be any victory there, Lord. God, would you give us the faith that we need to trust you for the victory? God, we trust that humbly, knowing that it'll be your way and on your timing, God, but we don't want to be the kind of people that think God could never do that. God could never mend this relationship. God could never save that person. God could never forgive me for that. God could never help me overcome this sin. Help us not to be that kind of people, Lord, but the people that trust deeply in Christ for victory, knowing that the victory will come in spite of us, but because of your love through our faith, God. I pray for anyone here, to God, who's never put their faith in Jesus, God, would today be the day of salvation, God? Would they trust in Christ today, believing in him, calling on his name today? God, we pray that you would do that. And God, we pray that you would help us to be the kind of people that have faith when we lose, when we're not successful, when we fail, when we're not triumphant, when we experience defeat. God, would you help us to cling to the beauty of the cross, where our Savior bled and died, where our Savior now holds forth his wounds as proof of how much he loves us and how much he can be trusted. God, thank you for this passage today that helps us guard our hearts from thinking that you always want us to win. You always want us to be successful. You always want us to triumph. God, we don't claim to know your mind, but we know that there are times where failure and weakness is good for us. Help us to trust you in those days. Help us to trust you when we suffer, when we struggle, when we're not enough or we don't have enough. Help us to trust you even the moment where death is on our doorstep, the ultimate defeat. Help us to trust that Christ will raise us from the dead. Lord, we thank you for this word. God, would you give us eyes and hearts that see and trust Jesus? We pray these things in his name. Amen.